Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas, Mary Finelli. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Mary, can you start out by telling our listeners how you got involved in animal issues?
Sure. Well, I mean, I have always just been, I guess you could say obsessed, just fascinated with animals ever since I can remember, and always wanted to try to figure out how I could help them, the best way I could help them. And I feel really fortunate that when I was about in my early 20s, I found out about animal rights, that animal rights happened in my lifetime, basically the modern animal rights movement. And I really wanted to get involved with that, so I moved to Washington, D.C. and volunteered for and worked with a number of animal organizations, primarily doing farm-to-animal work because they were the largest group of animals, so I figured I'd do the most good with them. And then eventually it dawned on me that really the largest group, even within that group and beyond that group, are fishes. So I and there was really so little happening in the way of, even within the animal protection, the animal rights movement for fishes. So I decided to start the organization Fish Feel.
And when was that?
That started in about 2013.
Yeah, I think it's really important to bring this up because a lot of people, for some reason, they don't include fish when they think about cruelty to animals that we eat. You know, people are becoming more and more aware of slaughterhouses and the cruelties that occur on dairies, but they rarely think about what goes on during fisheries operations, during these massive offshore fishing, and even in your, you know, going fishing with your family.
Right. And I was just as guilty as pretty much everybody else. You know, I, even though I was so deeply involved in the animal rights movement, I really was pretty ignorant of fish issues and ignoring of them. So I think it's really, as you mentioned, a cultural matter. I mean, we just, fishing is viewed as something wholesome and, you know, a harmless pastime. And people just, so many people don't even consider fish to be animals. I mean, you think of people who claim they're vegetarian, yet they're eating fish.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of outside of society's consciousness in a way.
Well, yeah. It's hard for us to, as humans, to relate to fish. They're so different from us. I mean, we can have empathy for things that look kind of like us and have fur. But fish, I mean, they're so different.
It is harder. They are, they're not mammalian. They are fish. They live in another element. You know, we really don't see them that much because they are underwater. So it is harder, but certainly not. It's certainly very possible. And people who have fish as companions, companion animals, you know, they really bond with it if they're really, you know,
well, yeah,
paying attention to them. They really bond with them.
Yeah, it's, that's the interesting part, because any kid that's had a fish in a fish tank, or even here at our university, we have a fish tank, and every time I go in to feed our fish, they come swimming the minute I walk in the door. They know, you know, what's going to happen next. They're waiting, and, you know, you do see that they have, you know, they can sense even the external environment outside the water, what's going on.
Oh, yes, and they've shown that they can recognize, differentiate humans and recognize certain ones. They'll know the human who regularly feeds them. They'll know if someone's unfamiliar to them. So they're very perceptive.
Yeah, and I guess along those lines of fish intelligence, what sorts of gains have we seen in science in the last, you know, 10, 15 years of actually acknowledging how bright they are and how complex they are?
Yes. Well, you know, within the last few decades, we really have developed the technology to study them in their natural habitats. And I don't know if you saw the recent series that was on Blue Planet 2, but really just fascinating how amazing these animals truly are. They've shown, well, you know, so many myths are being dispelled now, too. For example, the myth that fish have a three-second memory, which is just absurd, probably came about to try to justify keeping them in little bowls. But it's been shown, well, think of salmon who go out to the ocean, have gone sometimes for years, and out comes back from thousands of miles away. They find their way back, remember how to come back to their place of birth where they were only the one time. And it's shown that goldfish can remember things for months. So they have long-term memories. They pass knowledge from generation to generation, which is the basis of culture. They've been shown to use tools. They have sophisticated forms of learning, learn from each other. They cooperate with other species. They go hunting with other species. There are fish who are wonderful parents, very devoted, amazingly devoted parents. And now just recently it was in the news that they believe they have passed the mirror test where they can recognize themselves in a mirror, which is considered a very sophisticated form of intelligence. So we really are learning so much about them and just how admirable and amazing they are.
Oftentimes I can't even recognize myself in the mirror.
Well, I remember there was a funny story. I can't remember how long ago it was from that octopus that kept sneaking out of his tank and going over to the other tanks and stealing fish and then going back into his tank. I thought that was hilarious. Well, and I guess, you know, when I came to the notion of, you know, I was slow to evolve in changing my diet, and the first thing, you know, I didn't really identify with fish as much either, especially growing up in the desert. Not a lot of relationships with them. And but the bycatch was the thing that really struck out to me because of from an environmental standpoint. So wondering if we can talk a little bit about, you know, what bycatch is and what role that plays in depleting the oceans.
Sure. Bycatch is, you know, the animals who are unintentionally caught in fishing gear, caught and killed in fishing gear. And it's just astronomical numbers of these animals being caught, including fishes. Suppose that they catch more than their quota, and they just throw them back dead and dying. The way they fish, the common methods of fishing are so inhumane and so indiscriminate. They have, like, trawling, where they're just taking these immense nets and dragging them across the ocean bottom, catching whoever happens to be down there and destroying coral and other habitat. Or they'll have these long lines, which are miles long with thousands of hooks laying across the ocean, and whoever just happens to get caught on them, including birds and turtles, sea turtles, all kinds of animals. Or they have these gill nets, which are like a wall of netting. They just drop down into the ocean. They can be a mile long or more, and whoever happens to swim into that and get caught. Then there's also the crab pots that are catching, they have these long ropes on that whales are commonly getting entangled in and dragging these all around, and the ropes are getting embedded in them and they're dying from it. Catching seals, turtles, whales, birds, countless fishes, the ones they catch that they don't want, they just throw back that are dying. It's just wiping out aquatic wildlife.
Yeah, it's really horrific when you hear about the bycatch numbers associated with shrimping and some of these other fisheries. It's just incredible that people aren't aware that all of these animals are being brought up to the surface many times from depth. So they have these pressure issues. They have lack of air to breathe. So they're suffering and suffocating and struggling. It's horrific.
Right. Sometimes they actually explode from the pressure difference. It's just horrendous.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
Or even thrown into the freezer before they've, you know, completely died. It's you know, there's a variety of cruelty that goes into the process from the first point that they're caught until when they ultimately die. I think I want to say it was in Eating Animals, the book Eating Animals, where they talked about, you know, if you sat down and a plate of sushi, and if your plate actually included all the animals that were impacted or were killed by that plate of sushi, your plate would be about 5 feet long or something like that.
5 feet across, right?
Yeah, 5 feet across.
Yeah, and as he also mentioned in the book, you don't have to wonder if the fish on your plate suffered. They did. There's no laws protecting the well-being of the fish used for food. They're not covered by the Humane Slaughter Act. They're not covered by the Animal Welfare Act. They're commonly used in experimentation. And the way they kill them is they let them suffocate, or they put them on ice to slowly die in agony, or they cut them, you know, behind the gills, let them bleed out. There's no humane way of killing these animals that's employed.
Yeah, I know. And then even larger ones, they like shoot them or gut them alive. It's just,
right.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It really is.
And if people think that farm fish is any better, I think they have a lot to learn about that as well, because the conditions in these fish farms are often very, very terrible for the animals.
That's true. They're so crowded together and living in these filthy conditions, and they're just crawling with sea lice, which are also transmitting to the wild fish and polluting the surrounding water. A lot of the numbers that they're catching from the ocean are just truly astronomical. It's been estimated between 1 and 3 trillion, with a T, trillion, fish are caught every year. And a large number of those are used to feed farmed fish and farmed chickens and farmed pigs. So the fishing industry is also propping up those animal agriculture industries. Human slavery is rampant in the fishing industry. A lot of that catch is sold here. It's basically untraceable. So there's just so many problems involved with fishing and the way we treat fish.
And fish aren't inspected as if that did any good in the cattle industry, but they're not inspected by the government, so, you know, they could have any kind of parasites and disease.
That's right. The vast majority of the seafood that's consumed in the U.S. is imported, most of it from Asia, so which has very questionable sanitation standards, and they say only about 1% to 2% is inspected by the federal government. So, you know, it's actually considered one of the most dangerous foods you can eat.
I have to admit that unlike other vegans who gave up cheese as the last animal product, seafood was the last animal product I gave up before I went vegan.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well,
it's because I spent nearly every summer vacationing in Florida, and it's hard to eat vegan on the coast of Florida.
You know, it's getting easier everywhere now,
yeah,
of course,
that's true.
Including for seafood. There are so many. Well, when we started putting together a vegan seafood page on our website, I thought we'd come up with like 5 recipes, but every day I'm encountering more. There are vegan versions of virtually any kind of seafood and really any kind of food you can imagine. They even make vegan squid, vegan shark fin, anything you have hankering for, there's a vegan version. Yes, it's really amazing. And now they're coming out with their cell-cultured seafood and plant-based seafood. They're investing millions into the development of it, so new things are really on the horizon.
I've been saving recipes for vegan shrimp, and I intend on trying to make that soon.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, I like my son loves the vegan crab cakes, which is funny. And then I really like the vegan fish sticks because I ate way too much Long John Silver's in high school and missed that sort of greasy, horrible food. But when you want it, it's nice to have that option with vegan tartar sauce, which tastes just like the real thing.
Right. You know, if you serve it with vegan tartar sauce or cocktail sauce and lemon, that's really the flavors that people are looking for and associating with the seafood, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right, without getting all the cruelty involved in the environmental impacts and, you know, all the ethical issues associated with it.
Right.
You know, I think one of the things, too, just while we're on the methods of fishing, I think ghost nets are, starting to get more attention from the world community, I guess from the world, about their impact. Maybe we can talk about ghost nets and what those are doing to our oceans.
That's true. So many of these nets either are abandoned or get loose and just get away from them and float down to they're either like the gill nets that are hanging wall of netting that could just be there and animals swim into them and either get attacked by predators or they just decompose in those nets. Or if they drop to the bottom of the ocean, they're trapping animals and destroying habitat down there. And, you know, there are some efforts to bring those nets up, but you can imagine how heavy they are. It's just a Herculean task to try to bring them up. And they're killing, they can go on killing for years.
Yeah, and they're hard to, I'm sure, incredibly difficult to see. And
right.
Well, I guess, you know, one of the things that I was surprised to read about on your website was the use of fish in biomedical research, and not something I know a whole lot about. I think that was surprising to me and maybe surprised many others.
Yes, more and more they are turning to fish. Now they're getting more stringent regulations regarding primates and such, but since their fish are not regulated like mammals are, they're not covered by the Animal Welfare Act, nor are rodents or birds, who make up the vast majority, like 95% of the animals they use are those animals. So they're turning more and more to them, and pretty much anything goes. I mean, it's just horrendous. You can imagine what they do, and they're considered cheaper. And well, they are cheaper, less expensive, and they repop, they breed quickly. You know, they can have generation after generation quickly, and see the results. So they're using them more and more just for all kind of horrendous experimentation.
I know they're models for developmental biology, for sure. The zebrafish model is one of the most famous developmental models in used in biology.
Right. And you know what's interesting? They're using them to study depression and other mental states in humans, and yet so many people deny that fish think or feel or all these other things, and yet they're using them as a model for the human.
Yeah. It's funny. It's the same reason with any biomedical research. It's like, oh, they're just like us, so we can test on them, but they're not just enough like us so that they qualify for any protections. Yeah.
Right.
Mary, did you want to go ahead? And then I guess I read about, thinking about what's close to home to us, I read about on your website about an investigation at a Texas catfish slaughterhouse. And I guess I was surprised to even hear about that. But what happened there?
That was a few years ago. Mercy for Animals, they did an investigation at a Texas slaughter plant, a catfish slaughter plant. And you can go online. It's called, I believe it's called Skinned Alive. And it's just about a two-minute video. And I have seen hundreds, if not thousands, of videos of horrendous animal situations, but this is possibly the worst. I mean, they are literally just cutting these animals up alive. And when they wanted to bring the law in against that, the owner of the catfish slaughter plant said, "Why are you picking on me? This is the way it's done everywhere, you know, because there are no regulations." So that's just the easiest thing for them to do is just kill them any which way that's convenient to them and inexpensive to them. And it's not just in that one plant, but that's standard operating procedure.
Has anything been changed since that video has been produced? Has there been any positive outcome from that?
No, really not. No, I mean, that's just the way it's done. And, you know, there are certification systems which really don't take into account any humane concerns, but, you know, they recommend people go through these certification systems to pick out seafood to eat, but they've been shown to be very dubious, and now with mislabeling, it's been estimated that a third of the seafood sold in North America is mislabeled. So even if you try to go with these certification systems, you really don't know what you're getting. But basically, it comes down to there is no humane way to catch or kill these animals.
Yeah. And one thing, though, is the use of the media to get attention to these issues, because I remember when blackfish came out, then, I mean, that did a lot for wells. But I'm just thinking it would be great if there would be something similar for fish on a bigger scale. Are there any documentaries that you know of or any good video products?
Actually, there is a 15-minute documentary video called Seaspiracy. And it's very, very good, very hard-hitting. And they are working with the people who did Cowspiracy to come out with a full-length version of that. So that should be very good. I don't know where they're at in the development process, but, I mean, judging by the one that exists now, it should be very good. You know, PETA has always been pretty good about the fish issue. One of the few groups that's actually paid much attention to fish. And they right now, actually, they have a billboard campaign up in Baltimore about crabs. They're actually having a bit of a billboard war up there. It's in the Baltimore Sun today. And there's a demonstration actually this weekend scheduled by DXC's planning a demo up there. But I know PETA's flown banners and done things like that. So, you know, they are the one organization that's really paid a lot of attention. Really, in Europe, they're ahead of us as far as fish advocacy goes, and they're having there's a World Day for the End of Fishing that's been going on for about 2 years now, and they've had events in like 80 countries around the world. They've gotten quite a bit of media coverage there. So, you know, attention to fishes is beginning to pick up, but you know, we still have so far to go.
And it might be too late because I've read that because of the intensive way we're fishing, most fish could be extinct by 2050.
Well, what that study actually said by Boris Worm, he was the lead researcher on that, and if fishing rates continue the way they are, the species that are commonly fished now, they'll be so depleted that it will no longer be commercially viable to fish for them. So they did an estimate, the World Wildlife Fund and the London Zoological Society. They estimated that within the past 40 years, aquatic populations have been halved. So we are really decimating the oceans by overfishing them, with global warming happening now, ocean acidification, pollution, sonic surveys that are just really devastating to the navigational skills and really thought to possibly be killing whales and dolphins and very possibly fish also. They use sound waves and they communicate. You know, it's really wreaking havoc on the oceans. People talk about sustainable fisheries, but that's just so really unrealistic given the state of flux that the oceans are in and the inability to really assess populations accurately. There really is no such thing as sustainable fishery and certainly no such thing as a humane fishery.
Yeah, and I remember years ago there was an article in the journal Science about how that we had already fished out most of the commercially, as you mentioned in response to Greg, it's not that the fish are extinct, but it's no longer commercially viable to harvest them and that we are now eating lower on the food web and eating food fishes that were considered to be trash or, you know, bycatch years ago are now the only ones left in the sea to fish at a commercially viable rate. It's just horrible the way we've devastated the fisheries. And we have to remember that as a consequence of that, we see death of starving seals, penguins, all these other animals that depend on fish for their diets as well.
Right. The orcas up in the Northwest and seabirds. It's really just devastating so many species. Society, just the way we look at fishing and the way we look at fish. I mean, the way fishing is now being promoted, especially among the youth, as something positive to get out there and do, we really need to try to change that mindset and let people know that fish are sentient beings as deserving of our compassion and respect as any other sentient animals.
And they are truly like the most diverse vertebrate with, 40,000 species with all kinds of fascinating behaviors and life histories. Anything that you can imagine some fish species probably does in terms of behavior.
They are so amazing. You know, when I started this, I really didn't know that much about fish, but every day I'm learning more and they're just so interesting and so remarkable and so admirable. They truly are just amazing.
Mary, can you tell our listeners where to go to learn more about your work at Fish Field?
Sure. Well, we have a website, fishfield.org, and we have fact sheets on there and a lot of other information, campaigns we're working on, events we'll be doing. Also, we have a very dynamic Facebook page. You know, post a lot of news on there every day. We're posting items on there. We have a Twitter account, an Instagram account. We try to get to a lot of at least the more local events going on here. Now, we were going to go to DC Veg Fest this weekend, but because of the storm, that's been canceled, unfortunately. But there's one up in York, Pennsylvania soon. We'll be going to that. So we do a lot of tabling events, go to animal rights conference, things like that. But if you want to check out our website and Facebook page, that'd be a great place to start.
We've been talking with Mary Finelli, the president and chairperson of Fish Field. Thank you for being on the program, Mary.
Oh, thank you again so much for having me. And just also to mention, we do have a newsletter, too, so if people want to sign up for that, we'd love to keep them updated.
I'm going to check on your vegan recipes on the website for sure.
Oh, very good.
All right.
Thanks, Mary.
If you have any to suggest, send them our way.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.